Welcome to Chevis Talks. In this series, we delve into the world of nearshoring in Mexico. In each episode, we will discuss the impact of nearshoring from key perspectives: corporate, legal, labor, social security, tax, transfer pricing, and foreign trade. Get ready to discover how these insights present opportunities that Mexico offers in the realm of nearshoring.
Welcome to another episode of our Chevis Talk series on nearshoring. For today, we want to talk to you about the corporate law environment in Mexico. In dealing with nearshoring, soft landing is important, and the corporate law environment is very, very significant. My name is José Carlos Silva. I'm a tax partner in Chevis Reese. For this episode, I will interview Miguel Valle. Miguel is a partner here in Chevis Reese in our corporate law and M&A practice. Hello, Miguel.
Hi, José Carlos.
Miguel, give us some sense about, first of all, I'd like to talk about restrictions. Are there any foreign investment restrictions in Mexico for foreign investors? Can a foreign investor invest in anything in Mexico? Are there any legal worries?
Thank you, José Carlos. And first of all, a pleasure to share this podcast with you.
Absolutely.
Mexico is a country open to foreign investment. That will be my first statement. So therefore, I can say without doubt that there are just a few activities reserved for the Mexican government, for Mexican nationals, or for Mexican entities with a maximum percentage of foreign investment. So let me give you some examples. Generation of nuclear energy, regular mail services, and telegraph are activities reserved for the Mexican government. Ground transportation of people and ground freight are reserved for Mexican individuals or for Mexican entities with Mexican investment. And manufacturing and commercialization of explosives and firearms, as well as national air transportation, have a limitation of 49% of foreign investment. So in addition to what I just mentioned, there are some activities that require the authorization of the Foreign Investment Commission to exceed 49% of foreign investment, such as the rendering of legal services. We have helped some firms to come to Mexico and to obtain this authorization in the past, and the rendering of private education services recognized by Mexican authorities. But as I mentioned before, the restricted activities are just a few.
They are restricted, and it seems like, in general, Mexico is pretty open, a pretty open jurisdiction that attracts foreign investment. So that was very helpful. Now, once you have a certainty that your type of investment has no foreign investment restrictions, what do you think? Is it better to make a direct investment and perform the activities in Mexico through, say, a branch? Or would you purchase or incorporate a Mexican entity? What are your thoughts on that?
So I am of the opinion that each case should be analyzed individually. And it would be important to understand the specifics of the activities to be performed in Mexico and the legal and tax requirements in Mexico and in the country of origin of the foreign investment. So I can say that in the majority of the cases, it is advisable to incorporate a Mexican entity with foreign investment or to purchase an ongoing concern vis-a-vis operating in Mexico with a foreign entity. And let me explain you why. I think that having a Mexican vehicle incorporated in Mexico or purchased in Mexico should provide a corporate veil to its equity holders and managers and directors, which can only be pierced in certain specific and limited situations. Also should provide a legal and effective way to avoid the existence in Mexico of a permanent establishment for the foreign investor for legal and also for tax purposes, and will also provide a vehicle which will be familiar for Mexican business partners, banking institution, and even the government in Mexico, which will simplify the operation in our country. Now, what I just said does not mean that a foreign entity cannot be registered in Mexico to do business. This alternative is allowed by Mexican law. However, I would say the process to register a foreign entity to operate in Mexico would include a burdensome process, which is translation of the bylaws and articles of incorporation, legalization or registration before the Ministry of Economy, and thereafter, registration before Public Registry of Commerce and before Mexican Tax and Social Security Institute, which, as I said before, would be burdensome if compared to the same process for a Mexican entity. And of course, the foreign entity doing business in Mexico would have to report and pay taxes in Mexico as a permanent establishment.
So that's very clear. And actually, listening to you, this is not a tax segment, but I'm a tax expert. So I completely agree with you. You don't want to be doing business in Mexico through anything other than a subsidiary, unless there's some very, very specific reason. Navigating the tax rules of a permanent establishment is just something you would rather not do. So thank you for that. So a company does decide to open shop in Mexico and incorporate. What are the main type of entities that a foreign investor can use according to our corporate law?
So let me start by saying that the process for the incorporation of a Mexican entity is quite simple, but requires attention in many details in order to avoid future complications. This process can take from 1 to 3 weeks, and the necessary registration can take some additional days. In summary, I will say that it starts with a choice of entity. There are many different entities in Mexico, but the main entities used for doing business are the stock corporations, or in Spanish, sociedades anónimas, and the commercial partnership, or in Spanish, sociedad de responsabilidad limitada, which can have certain and different modalities, but are, for all practical purposes, Mexican limited liability entities. Once the type of entity has been chosen, an authorization for the use of the corporate name has to be obtained from the Ministry of Economy. This is the obtainment of this authorization in the understanding that if the name to be used includes the use of a trademark, it will always be advisable to register the trademark and protect the same before the Mexican authority and before its use. This protection applies not to all intellectual property to be used in Mexico, in order to avoid an infringement or a claim that could end up in litigation and up to 40% of the income of the infringer in damages and losses. So let me go back to what I was saying regarding the incorporation process. The bylaws and transitory articles of the entity would have to be drafted and would have to be formalized in Mexico before another republic and recorded then before the public registry. It is important here to take into consideration that if a foreign investor could not be present in Mexico for the incorporation of the entity, then powers of attorney would have to be granted abroad. Those powers of attorney would have to be formalized abroad and apostilled or legalized and then sent to Mexico for their formalization before another republic, which could add some days to the process. So I think that some comments are important here are that in Mexico, for these type of entities, it is still necessary to have at least 2 equity holders. It doesn't matter what is the percentage of participation of those equity holders.
There's no sole ownership.
There's no sole ownership for this type of entity.
Okay.
There's some exception, but it will not apply for what we're talking about. And in contrast to this, there's no minimum fix or corporate capital required at the time of incorporation. However, in practice, the amount to be used and to be contributed at the moment of incorporation is between an approximate of, I would say, $60 and $3,000. That is what's customary. So regarding the board of directors, and this is a question that we get a lot, or the board of managers, there is no restriction. There is no need to have Mexican nationals to be part of the board of directors or the board of managers, and they can have their meetings within Mexico or abroad. It would be important just to make sure that this would not have any other impact from a tax perspective in their country of origin. Now, notwithstanding this flexibility for the members of the board, the individuals that will represent the entity on a daily basis should reside in Mexico. That is our advice, or be available in Mexico and be granted with those powers of attorney to appear before governmental institution, tax authorities, and banks. I would say that one of the tricky parts of incorporating a company in Mexico and having an operative company is that the company will require to have a lease of an office or a real estate to be able to obtain its tax identification number and its registration before, obviously, the Mexican Social Security. I would say that this requisite sometimes would be difficult to achieve because the company would not have that tax identification number, and the lessor would ask for that. So there are certain accounting reputable firms that would provide that kind of service and would allow you to use their domicile for purposes of obtaining your tax identification number. And then once you are completely formed, you can lease or purchase a property or have your final offices. I would say that in this case, the incorporation of a company would not end with those registrations. There are other registrations before the Foreign Investment Registry and other authorities, but I think that in a nutshell, that would be it.
Okay, so you jumped into, thank you for that. First of all, it was very clear. There are several corporate firms. You jumped into my territory, which is tax. I have a quick couple of comments. One is, for our U.S. listeners, the use of these type of partnerships you mentioned, the Sociedad de Responsabilidad Limitada, or SRL, that's clearly a partnership for U.S. law. And you can check the box on that and have benefits in the U.S. for doing that. So that's something to be considered for U.S. Investors. And second, about management. The only rule for tax residence in Mexico is where the actual place of management. It doesn't matter if the company was incorporated under Mexican law. So you can have a Mexican corporation actually incorporated under Mexican law, as you have explained. But if the management is deemed to be set abroad, that's a non-resident company for Mexican tax purposes. So you have to keep a balance and be very careful in how you arrange for these corporate governance. But this is something that the companies are familiar with, and with your help, they can set up properly.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you for that. Another way you go is to buy or purchase an existing entity. What should a purchaser of a Mexican entity or ongoing concern should be focused on? What are the main items to be tackled?
Thank you, Jose Carlos. As in any M&A or purchase of equity in Mexico, a due diligence process would have to be performed. It is advisable. And this is to review the situation and the level of compliance of the target entity and be able to assess any legal, tax, administrative, and labor liabilities, among others, that would be assumed through the purchase of the equity. Also, an equity purchase agreement would have to be drafted and negotiated, including customer representations and warranties and indemnity provisions, including, for example, escrow or holdback amounts to be included to cover any contingencies in the event they arise. Finally, I would say, depending on the size of the transaction and industry, it would be necessary to confirm if any antitrust authorization would have to be obtained prior to the closing of the transaction, or if any other administrative authorization would be required, or any notices or authorization would have to be delivered to governmental institutions or private parties. In this last regard, it would be important to consider that if you need an antitrust authorization, the average time to obtain that authorization would be between 30 to 90 days. So if required, it can delay the closing of that purchase. So as opposed to the incorporation of an entity, in the event of a purchase of an ongoing concern, the entity would be already formed, would be operating. So there should be no need to make any additional registrations to the notices that or authorizations that I mentioned before to continue with the operations. If that is an option, if there is a target that has been identified, I would say that this is another way to land in Mexico.
Okay, very, very clear. Let's close with the rule of law, right? So investors are interested to know how well their investment is protected. You've talked about corporate law in Mexico, and that's fine, but we've talked in other sections of this series of Chévez talks about the agreements, all sorts of international agreements. We've talked about tax treaties. We've talked about FTAs. How about reciprocal investment promotion and protection?
Okay. So Mexico is part of an important number of our reciprocal investment promotion and protection agreements. If my recollection is correct, we are part of around 30 of those agreements, which, as you just mentioned, are international treaties that provide protection and certainty to the foreign investment. And I would say that they aim to, first, promote and favor the existence of due competition, provide a protection legal framework for investors and their investments. Other would be guarantee the control of the investors over their investments and provide a dispute resolution mechanism between the investor and the Mexican state if a provision of the agreement is violated or damage has been caused to the investment of the foreign investor. These agreements provide an important tool to protect foreign investment and allow for the solution of controversies in Mexico outside Mexican courts. So what we have seen is that many foreign investors have decided to go through this path in the event they find that any right has been violated, for example, by the Mexican state.
Well, thank you, Miguel. You've helped us navigate through these corporate law environments, and it's been really interesting. Thank you. You made this matter very, very simple to understand. I enjoyed our conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Look forward to our next talk.